The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. Everybody wants to go to heaven. At least most, nearly everybody wants to go to heaven. You'll have to travel quite a ways to find somebody who will actually come out and say, no, I don't want to go to heaven. You'll find a lot, of course, who are a little bit confused. They're not really sure. And of course, you will find so many, in fact, the majority, who don't know how to get to heaven. There are all sorts of ideas that people have. You think, for instance, of Lebanon today and those fanatical Islamic people. They think they're going to get to their paradise by loading up a truck with explosives and blowing themselves and a few hundred Marines to smithereens. Yes, they think they'll blow themselves into paradise. They'll blow themselves somewhere, but it's not paradise. But it is amazing how many people don't really understand the kingdom of heaven and how to get there. In fact, I think you'll find even when you get into your own parish, you'll find people that might have some strange notions. Now, one way that people think they're going to get there is you've got to be good. That's the usual thing you hear. Well, you've got to be good. Don't hurt anybody. Do the right thing. Be fair, honest, and upright, etc. Well, you know something? You do have to be good to get to heaven. You have to be absolutely good. You've got to be absolutely righteous. You realize that, don't you? In the presence of God, there is no unholiness tolerated, not even the smallest amount of unrighteousness. Well, of course, that puts the question squarely to us. Are you good enough to get to heaven? That's really what our Lord is talking about here, isn't it? The Pharisees thought they were good enough for heaven. Oh, sure. They kept the law, did they not? All the commandments of Moses. Every one of them, and added about 600 and a few more to these commandments, and they kept them all, at least formally and outwardly. They thought indeed they were righteous. Now, we've got to be fair with the Pharisees. I really think they thought, genuinely thought, that they were good enough. Just like you're going to find a lot of people out there who really think, well, they're going to make it. They're pretty good. They're good enough. And you'll even find people like that in the church. Yes, right in the church sometimes. We hope that you will never get into that you feel so good, and you can't even, in the name of clinging faithfully to the gospel, you can become so impressed with your own wonderful stature before God that you become self-righteous. It's easily done. You might say, oh my, just look at me. I can say, well, I have been in the ministry for 45 years this year. And I worked awfully hard. I did a lot of wonderful things. God ought to be very pleased with me. Maybe you will say, well, yeah, you know, I am preparing for the Lord's work. I gave up a good business. I gave up a good profession. Oh, my. Well, all those things have merit and value. But that doesn't mean at all that you're good enough for heaven. In fact, Jesus points out, he says, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will in no case get into the kingdom of heaven. There's no way. No way. And then he proceeds to take a few of the chief commandments, and he points out how the righteousness of the Pharisees is not nearly enough. Is not nearly enough. He takes up the fifth commandment, murder. Oh, they didn't kill anybody. But oh, then he says, what about the heart? What about your hatred of your fellow man? Think of what you think of the publicans. Oh, those blinkety-blank so-and-sos. Just think of that. He probably could have added, just look what you think of me. Then he took up the sixth commandment about adultery. Divorce. Oh, yes, they were very legal according to their laws and strictures and the divorcement bill of Moses. They thought that was fine. And yet, really and truly, even from their very heart, they were committing adultery. He applied it also to oaths. They had this rule that certain oaths, they weren't really forbidden because they were so minor, so trivial, you know. You just had to be careful what kind of oaths you give. They had a double standard there. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will in no way get into the kingdom of heaven. And you know that applies to us. Is there anybody who is good enough for heaven? Not one single soul. There's not a just man on earth that does good and does not sin. That's it. Well, heaven's going to be pretty empty then, isn't it? Ah, no. Remember, Jesus was pointing to himself. He was bringing people to himself. And in Jesus Christ is the exceeding righteousness. In Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God that we need. Just before these verses, Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. No, I'm come to fulfill. Christ is the fulfillment, the end of the law to him that believes. And that terrible, terrible debt that we owe, that all men owe before God because of their sin, we know that surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Our iniquity was upon him. Beautifully, St. Paul says, God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Now listen carefully, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He fulfilled it all. He paid for all of our transgressions. He bore our sins upon the accursed tree of the cross. He satisfied the demands of eternal justice. And his Father accepted the ransom that he paid. And now in Jesus Christ, you and I, by faith, are righteous, completely holy. We are the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. By holy baptism, we were baptized into Christ, and as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's why St. Paul says, and you and I say, I don't live, but Christ lives in me. By his wonderful word, he assures us and reassures us again and again that his righteousness is our righteousness. That we are dressed in his perfect garment of righteousness. And in the most wonderful way, the most exciting and strengthening way, the Lord comes to us as in a few moments you shall again experience with his very body, with his very blood, the price for our righteousness. Under the bread and the wine, he truly comes, really. Supernaturally, he is present and says, I have redeemed you. You're mine. Your sins are forgiven. And where there is forgiveness of sins, there is no longer any payment for sins. You are holy. You have been washed. You have been sanctified. You have been cleansed by the water, the body and the blood. How wonderful it is that we have this righteousness. And this makes us now members of the kingdom of heaven. And let me say this, please don't always look to some distant day for the kingdom of heaven. For the believer, the kingdom of heaven is now. That's why the apostle says, our citizenship is in heaven. You're just visitors with your visas here on earth. He that believes on the Son has eternal life, has heaven. Oh, how wonderful, how blessed it is. Come to the table of the Lord again to be reassured and strengthened and dressed in this perfect robe of the righteousness of the blood of the Savior Jesus Christ. How fortunate, how blessed are we. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.